the season, believe it or not, is coming up, I think, quicker than most of us expect. Not quicker than our next guest expects, and he's going to be ready for sure. He's my broadcast partner on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Former Bills safety Mark Kelso joins us live on the line right now. You're ready for the season. Well, you were in here the other day getting ready to make your charts already for preseason, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I was just printing up some blank charts, but I'll get ready pretty quickly. I mean, there's so much that has happened, really, in the off season. I think there's a lot of optimism, but I'm not going to start watching the film yet for the first preseason game. Don't worry about that.
All right. I'm not worried about that. Mark Kelso. Mark Kelso's on the line with us. I got a lot of things I want to run by you, Mark, and I'm going to start with this. Your old buddy, Steve Freeman. You played with Steve here with the Bills, right? Defensive back, safety.
Top shelf. Yeah. Steve, they don't come any better than Steve Freeman and his family, Steve and Bo, and their kids.
Well, that's why I brought this up. Did you know that his son, Brad, is now an NFL official?
You know what? I did not know that. I did know that he might have the opportunity. I think he worked, I want to say he might have worked in the SEC last year.
Yes, he did. I have the info right in front of me. Brad Freeman, the league just came out with its roster of officials, including, 13 new officials this year, 13 first-year NFL officials. Brad Freeman, field judge, worked in the SEC last year. He played and attended Mississippi State. Steve Freeman's son. You think they'll put him on the same crew, Mark?
Yeah. No, I doubt that would happen. But I'm sure he'll be with some veteran guys that they can kind of show him the ropes. He had a tryout. I think he was in a camp. I don't know if he hung on a practice squad for a year, but he was in Indianapolis, I think, coming out of college, and had a pretty good college career. But I know that he was kind of on that track and had worked a lot. I think he had probably worked some high school games and some lower college division games before he was promoted to the SEC. And then I guess, you know, that's kind of a track to get to the NFL. But, obviously they're looking for guys, for young guys and guys that are quality people. And I would think that he's not cut far from the cloth of his father.
You know, what do you think it is about those jobs? This is off topic, I know, but you can talk about a lot of things. So there's two Freemans now, father and son in the league. Sean Hockley is a first-year NFL official. Ed is his father. You know the Bergmans, I believe they're from the Pittsburgh area. They're like a first family of NFL officiating. On the list of future officials, the advanced participants in the league's officiating development program, there's a familiar name, Walt Coleman IV. What do you think it is about those jobs that has several generations from one family who get interested in NFL officiating?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure. I mean, it's obviously with the Freeman family, I mean, it's a passion, I think, for the game of football. And Steve didn't initially, I think, intend to do that during his post-playing days. But he was down. He was doing. I know he's a kind of a jack of all trades. He does a lot of construction work and ranches. Does, you know, he, I don't know if he raises cattle, but he certainly. Did a lot of ranching down in Mississippi, and then I think he just decided that, you know, he loved the game, he wanted to be around the game, and I think this was his opportunity to do it. I mean, he worked a lot of games. I remember Steve Freeman, working the national championship game when Michael Vick was playing. Where were they playing? They were playing in New Orleans. He was playing for Virginia Tech, I think.
Wow.
Wasn't it Virginia Tech against Alabama, I think it was. He worked the national championship game a couple times and then got his break in the NFL. But, I mean, certainly there's a lot of stress on game day, but those guys are really prepared and generally do an excellent job. I mean, I grew up with the Bergmans. You know, Mr. Bergman, Jerry Sr., was a Pittsburgh guy, and he had a daughter that was a classmate of mine. Where we graduated together from North Hills, just outside of Pittsburgh, and his sons, two of his sons actually are officials. I mean, they might, like you said, they might be the first family of officiating here in the NFL, and I think Jerry, wasn't Jerry... He was the umpire, right, for the famous Jerome Bettis coin flip call, right, in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day.
I think so, yeah. Phil Luckett was the referee who fouled up the coin flip, but I think you're right. You know what strikes me about those families staying in it, Mark, and I'm not going to focus entirely on officiating here, they must be pretty good jobs if the sons see their father doing it. You know what I mean? They must think, hey, I'd like to do that.
Well, you know, I think the pay's pretty good, and obviously there's some travel involved, and you got to be spot on game day, and you got to be. I mean, there are, you know, guys that, and it's like anything. If you do your job well, I mean, it's going to require some work and some hours to put to invest in that, but you're right. I mean, I think it's a pretty healthy reward for the time spent in preparation. So, but it's not an easy track either. I mean, sure that you know, these guys are evaluated at the collegiate level when they're working those collegiate games, and you know, part of those the evaluation I think is going to have a heavy weight in whether or not they're going to get the opportunity. But certainly, I think they get fast tracked along a little bit because dads have done a good job in the league and have a good reputation and you know they've kind of lived that life through their father in some capacity.
Mark Kelso, our guest, he is my broadcast partner on the Bills Radio Network. He is a longtime Buffalo Bills safety. If you have comments or questions for Mark, we're going to open up phone lines for the next few minutes here. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're toll free from outside Buffalo. You can reach us at 1-888-550-2550. Want to run a couple of questions by you, Mark, stuff that came up on the show, including the topic we got into last night. You, of course, played a major role on the Bills Super Bowl teams in the early 1990s. We were wondering who the unsung heroes of the 1990s Bills were. Everybody knows, you know, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, etc. Everybody knows Daryl Talley and the rest of them, but who were the guys who maybe were under the radar, didn't get a whole lot of credit, in your mind, to help those Super Bowl teams be so successful?
Well, I mean, we had, I mean, how many guys did we have? I mean, we had, I think, 22 guys is the number that sticks in my head is guys that played on all four of those teams. But, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of the whole collection of players that we had in the whole organization at that time is that we had a group of guys who enjoyed playing together. We had a group of guys who played specific roles and guys that were really good at the things that they were asked to do. There were a lot of guys. I don't even remember all the guys that were here for 4 years. I guess if I start rattling off names, I could remember most of them. But the one thing that I think it's a good topic. You know, my unsung hero, the number one guy, would probably be Daryl Talley because he was a three-down linebacker and he only went to the Pro Bowl one time, which is kind of unfathomable to me because he was such an important part of our defense through those critical years. But we had a lot of role players, and I think one of those offensive linemen, we had the best offensive line in football for probably 5 years, I would say, and one of those guys has got to, I think, have consideration for the Hall of Fame at some point, whether it's Kent or Jimmy Richter or Will Wolford or, you know, one of those guys. There was a collection of guys, John Davison, you know, you start naming guys, you forget Howard Ballard. But you know, John Cena, I know you had on the show, too. Yeah. So you had a group of guys that really meshed together and played so well together as a unit. And then, you forget about guys like Kirby Jackson and guys that were integral to a defensive backfield that played really well. And Nate Odoms was in that group for a bunch of years. Henry Jones was there for a couple of those Super Bowls as a high-round draft pick. J.D. I mean, there's so many guys, and that's the whole – I think that was the key to the success of the team is that we had – you know, we had some key guys who were Hall of Fame guys, and then we had a collection of guys around them that were really good players. Some, I think, Hall of Fame caliber that may not have gotten that nod or may never get it, but certainly high caliber guys. And then other guys who, you know, like myself, too, that were really good players, nowhere near Hall of Fame player, but you're good players, you're good role players. You do exactly what you need to do to put together a good club. And, everybody knew their role, and I think that's one of the reasons we had the success that we did.
You don't want to name one.
Well, not just one, no, because there's too many guys.
All right, how about two? Your teammate Jim Kelly tweeted in last night that he thought Ken Hull and Daryl Talley were the unsung heroes. Can you get it down to two?
Well, can I get it down to two? I mean, I got to say, again, I'd probably have to go with an offensive lineman. I would say a guy like Jimmy Richter. I mean, we played more, and you can ask Jim this, and you know, so he can correct me if I'm wrong, but we played a lot of man-blocking schemes from an offensive line perspective. And when Jim was uncovered as the offensive guard, I mean, he would come from his offensive guard position, and he would pick up the nickel blitzing linebacker or the nickel back when he blitzed off the edge. I mean, that's almost unheard of today. I mean, a guy to be able to even, first of all, recognize that, and then to be able to get out and be in position to protect that side of the quarterback when that guy's coming off the edge. And he was outstanding at that. I mean, I'd have to give a guy like Jim Richter, you know, a serious nod, certainly. From a defensive perspective, you know, I think Shane Conlon was integral. I mean, how many years was Shane here for the Super Bowls? Two or three?
At least two, right? I think three, maybe.
At least two, but he played 9 years in the league. He was six here in Buffalo. So I think he might have only been here for the first two.
He left here. Yeah, you're right. He, uh, No, 90, 91, and 92, 3 years.
Okay, so all three. So he's a guy. He's a guy that should obviously get a lot of accolades as well for the quality of play we have with that front seven, and made my job pretty easy.
Mark Kelso, our guest. He played 8 years with the Buffalo Bills in the secondary. He's been on our broadcast, I think, longer than that now, right, Mark? Are you going into your 10th year with us? No,
ninth or tenth, I think. Yeah. Well, you guys make my job easy. Boy, I got the easiest job in football, don't I?
Well, you work it pretty hard. You make it look difficult sometimes. Well, we
work hard. Like I said, if you want it to be good, you got to work hard. But I work with the best guys in the business, and so it makes my job pretty easy. So all I got to do is talk about it and explain it a little bit.
Hey, speaking of that, last time we had you on the show, it was around the time of the OTAs. We talked about OTAs a lot, but you also, at that time, had launched your book, Play the Down, a football film study guide. Talk about that with us again and how you've gone around trying to market this book and, what kind of interest is out there for your book, Play the Down.
Well, I've been around to a lot of programs, collegiate programs and high school programs as well. I mean, it's kind of written at a collegiate level, but it's a little heavy for high school, but really good for them because you talk to people. We discussed this last time when I was on about how the guys, you look at film, but if you don't really have a plan for what you're looking to get out of your film study, you kind of get done with your film study and you recognize a few athletic guys or you might see a skill set of one particular guy, but you really don't get what you need to prepare for game day. So, the book, it's a workbook. I've been with a lot of coaches around Western New York, two high school coaches that said they're ordering books for their team this year or a bunch of their key guys who can get together and study film with some of their teammates in position groups. At the collegiate level, there's a number of colleges that have said that, they would like to have those. So there's been some really good interest. My fear is that, all the interest is going to come by June 12th or July 12th. I mean, when things kind of start ramping up, college coaches right now are running camps or traveling and working camps, and then they'll have a couple weeks off over the 4th, and then they'll kind of get geared up again. But it is a quality piece. I mean, I'm kind of a modest guy, but it is a quality piece. It's easy for a player to utilize, particularly with all the stuff that they do online with Huddle and the iPad and the way that they can watch film at home by just logging into their account. It gives them an opportunity to have a template for what they need to get out of the film study, and it will help them prepare and be best prepared on game day. It's not to coach them, but it'll help them understand why the coaches are trying to initiate certain things, offensive or defensively, different strategies, because they'll recognize the things that the coaching staff has recognized and why they want to put them in these certain situations. So there's been a lot of interest and some interest. Actually, what I didn't think, John, is that, a couple people have called me that get this, the All-22.
Yeah.
That the NFL, and he said, I just want to buy one, NFL season, an offensive and defensive book. So when I break down the Bills and I look at their upcoming opponent, I can utilize the workbook. And that was a person who's a lawyer who was in the law profession in Hamburg for many, many years. I think retired now, maybe practice a little bit, but it'll be really interesting to see, the use that he gets out of him. But that's another market that I hadn't even thought of. Fantasy football, or people that are into that film study of the NFL, and it would make their film study much more effective and hopefully help teach them some of the finer points of the game and skill sets of particular players.
So anyone listening tonight, whether they're coaches or players or even fans, there's a website, right, where people can get info on your book?
Yeah, and the website is playthedown.com. Now you're going to have to type in like Square first because that's the secured server that we're using. If people purchase the books online offer their credit card information or debit card, and so you type in Square playthedown.com and then it'll come up. And the information is there. My phone number is there. If anybody wants to talk to me about it, more than happy to answer those questions. Then if you have an inquiry or place an order, it just gets forwarded to my email right through Play the Down. So feel free to do that. Like I said, if you like football, if you enjoy studying the game of football, and if you'd like to know the finer points that that kind of the result of what the strategy might be and how teams really look at the little nuances to determine how they might have success on game day, then it's something that you'd be really interested in.
Mark Kelso is our guest, my partner on the Buffalo Bills broadcast team, and the phone lines are open if you have a comment or a question. 803-0550, the number, or from outside Buffalo, it's toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from John in Rochester. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Hey, John. Hey, Mark. Man, I'll tell you, one of the most memorable moments I've ever had as a Bills fan was, I think, 1989 in Houston, when you took an interception right before half to the house. And I'll never forget, Bob Trumpley was the color guy, and I think Kirky was the TV guy. And as you were going in for getting close to scoring, Leonard Smith came out of nowhere, and Trumpley, it looked like he was going to clip a guy, and Trumpley goes, "No!" And the rest is history. They never called the clip, and you got your touchdown. That was phenomenal.
Well, he didn't clip. That was actually, I think that was a blocked field goal that somebody had blocked, and I had picked that. I think that's what it was when I returned it for a touchdown. But Leonard would never do that to me, would he?
But that was classic, man. And Trumpy, you could tell he was pulling for the Bills because he didn't want to see Leonard screw things up. But Leonard was a great player, and you were a great player, and that was an exciting game. And then Andre Reed scored the winning touchdown in overtime, I believe.
Yeah, it was. I'm looking at it here, a 47-41 final. Reed scored a 28-yard touchdown from Jim Kelly to win it. But, Mark, in the second quarter, a 76-yard return of a blocked field goal. 76 yards, Mark.
I was tired, buddy. Let me tell you something. And I can still remember that game. Leonard Smith's another one of those unsung heroes. I mean, yeah, you know, and guy that played just tremendous player for us and a great teammate. But I can remember sitting, that what was that, 89. So Scott Radisek, who's, you know, who's the architect for Populous, who's responsible for the stadium design and everything. So he was on the team then because he was put on waivers and claimed by Indianapolis before that 90 season. So I can remember sitting with him after that game. And what was the final score?
47-41.
He said, "Have you ever in your life given up 41 points in a game and still won?" And I said, "I don't think so." So, yeah, we weren't too happy with our defensive effort. But, that was kind of when things began to click and everybody started to come together. And I think that, you know, the one piece that was missing probably in 87 was you know, the running back and then with Thurman and Kenny Davis, and they solidified that position, and everything kind of went the right way in 88. And then in 89 we had a couple of blips, and I think we thought we were a little better than we were, and then once we really figured out what we needed to do to prepare day in and day out and how that would affect our performance on Sunday, and when we figured those things out, then things really began to roll in those 4 years.
Hey, Mark Kelso is on the line with us. Mark, I asked this question on the air earlier, and I want to get your thoughts on this. And we got to get a couple of things in here in the next few minutes, so I guess I'm asking you to be brief. But
keep it brief. I got it.
Are the Bills better equipped for playoff contention this year than they have been in a long time? What's your opinion?
Yes, I do believe they are. But let's not talk about playoffs. Let's talk about number of victories. And I'm not sure this is a number I really want to pick yet. But I don't think 10's out of the question here. And if they win 10 games and they don't make the playoffs, I'd be surprised. But they've improved in a lot of areas. I mean, I thought this year's draft was equally as strong as last year's, although only time will tell to see how the performances of these young guys bear out. But if the second-year guys that were so successful as rookies last year, and EJ, you know, being a little bit of a fire because he had a lot of great success but then had a bunch of injuries and had some games, I think, that he'd like to have back as well. But if he matures to the level that I think that he would like to and the coaching staff would like him to, and the young guys that they drafted this year play a key role. You know, they get some dynamic play out of the receiver position with Sammy and those young guys, the maturity with Robert Woods and Marquise and TJ and those guys. And I really think that's not out of reach, a 10-win season. And, last year, don't forget, last year they beat one of the top teams in the NFL in the Carolina Panthers when they came in here to Ralph Wilson Stadium. And that's the quality. They just have to maintain that quality week in and week out. And if they get good quarterback play and the running game is solid, you know, I think they have an opportunity to win 10 games, and that should put them in the playoffs.
Hey, Mark, I want to ask you about something you're involved with the folks at Excelsior Orthopedics. It's an effort to kind of bring NFL-style training methods, in particular hydration methods, to high school and youth teams all over Western New York. Tell us about that.
Yeah, great group of physicians up there. I mean, what a great medical community we have in Western New York with, you know, with UB Orthopedics and Excelsior Orthopedics. And, you know, I have guys at Excelsior that have treated my own kids, and you know, there's guys up there that can pretty much do anything to put players back together. But I think one of the things that they want to do, I sit on a foundation board with Excelsior Orthopedics, and the one initiative that they'd like to tackle this year is the hydration initiative. And so what they've done is they've put together a race, and the race is going to be on August 7th down at the NFTA Boat Harbor at 7 o'clock. Now, it's a 7.7K. So the 7.7, you'll recall, do you know what that number is for?
No.
This is the whole initiative was kind of came to light with the Corey Stringer, unfortunate passing of Corey Stringer when he was with the Minnesota Vikings. So 7.7K, his number.
77?
I mean, he has
yeah.
the Corey Stringer Foundation, which utilizes, you know, his number when he played for the Vikings, 77. I do think there's going to be some people from the Corey Stringer Foundation involved in the evening there on August 7th. So they put together this 7.7K soaker run, they call it. So I think the Buffalo Fire Department is going to be a part of it. And it is a sanctioned run for those serious runners here in Western New York. The Buffalo Running Club has sanctioned it, and the times will be official. I know there's a lot of runners in Western New York to participate in a number of events throughout the summer and collect all their times. But it looks like it's shaping up to be a really good event. They have enlisted over 43 schools, high schools around Western New York, Murph, to participate in the event as well and to help gain support for it. And then what's going to happen for the money raised with the entrance fee and some donations online, I'll give you a place where you can go online if people are interested in that. But then what's going to happen is that money is going to go right back to those 43 schools that have enlisted their services to help with the evening on August 7th and some of the preparation. It's going to go right back to them to purchase adequate hydration. I think what they're looking to purchase is those hydration stations with the 20-gallon tank, and so the athletes will be adequately hydrated here for their upcoming fall sports season.
Good initiative. August 7th is the race, and Excelsior Orthopedics will have more information on that. Mark, as always, it's a pleasure to talk with you. We are just a couple of weeks away from training camp, and you know what that means, a couple of weeks after that from preseason. It'll be here before you know it, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're ready. Do we need to make the board bigger? There are so many guys in the preseason.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it's going to be exciting. It really is going to be exciting, and it's going to be fun to see Andre inducted into the Hall of Fame. And the addition of that extra game, I think, is going to be a good thing for these young guys. So there's a lot of optimism, certainly, and hope springs eternal here this time of year. Guys will get some rest, and then they'll kind of gear it back up here as July rolls around and be ready for training camp. So it's going to be an exciting time, and hopefully there'll be a lot of people at St. John Fisher, and I'm looking forward to it every minute of it, no question, Mark.
Me too. Mark, good talking to you. We'll talk again.
Wait, give me one more. So if people were looking for this Soaker Run, just tell them to Google Soaker Run Buffalo, and it'll come up. It'll be the first one that comes up. They can get more information online.
Soaker Run Buffalo. Okay, we'll repeat that too. Thanks, Mark.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good day, buddy.
Mark Kelso, the color man on the Bills Radio Network, 8-year player for the Bills at the safety spot. Soaker Run Buffalo for more information on that run coming up August 7th.